to the great Three personality of Godhead. So this is the, we're going to read the pastime of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. This begins in the middle of the chapter called Krishna the Ranchor. Krishna Balaram fled from Jarasandha while he was besieging Mathura and escaped and made their way to Dwarka. Then it says, so I'm picking up the story there. Following this, Sri Balaram married Revati, daughter of King Rayavata, ruler of the Anartha province, to the long A, Anartha. This is explained in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. After the marriage of Baladev, Krishna married Rukmini. Rukmini was the daughter of King Bhishmaka, ruler of the province known as Vidarbha. Just as Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Rukmini is the supreme goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi. According to the authority of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the expansion of Krishna and Srimati Radharani is simultaneous. Krishna expands himself into various Vishnu Tattva forms, and Srimati Radharani expands herself into various Shakti Tattva forms. This morning we discussed Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, but there's also Shakti Tattva. And Srimati Radharani expands herself into various Shakti Tattva forms by her internal potency as multiforms of the goddess of fortune. According to Vedic convention, there are eight kinds of marriage. In the first class marriage system, the parents of the bride and bridegroom arrange the marriage date. Then, in royal style, the bridegroom goes to the house of the bride, and in the presence of brahmanas, priests, and relatives, the bride is given in charity to the bridegroom. Besides this, there are other systems, such as the Gandharva and Rakshasa marriages. Rukmini was married to Krishna in the Rakshasa style because he kidnapped her in the presence of his many rivals like Shishupal, Jarasandha, and Shalva. While Rukmini was being given in charity to Shishupal, that was the arranged marriage, Krishna snatched her from the marriage arena, exactly as Garuda snatched the pot of nectar from the demons. Rukmini, the only daughter of King Bhishmaka, was exquisitely beautiful. She was known as Ruchiranana, Ruchiranana, which means one who has a beautiful face expanding like a lotus flower. Devotees of Krishna are always anxious to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, his activities of fighting, kidnapping, and running away from the battlefield are all transcendental, being on the absolute platform, and devotees take a transcendental interest in hearing of them. The pure devotee does not make the distinction that some activities of the Lord should be heard and others avoided. There is, however, a class of so-called devotees known as the Prakrita Sahajya who are very interested in hearing about Krishna's Rasa Leela with the gopis, but not about his fighting with his enemies. They do not know that his bellicose activities really a nice word, bellicose. We'll hear that very often. Bellicose. Warlike. Bella is war. Bella. B-E-L-L-A is Latin. Yeah, so bellicose. His bellicose activities and his friendly activities with the gopis are equally transcendental, being on the absolute platform. The transcendental pastimes of Krishna described in the Srimad Bhagavatam are relished by pure devotees through submissive oral reception. They do not reject even a drop. The story of Krishna's marriage with Rukmini is described as follows. The king of Vidarbha, Maharaj Bhishmaka, was a very qualified and devoted prince. He had 5 sons and only 1 daughter. The first son was known as, and here we have these cute things that people give their kids rhyming names, right? He had 5 sons and only 1 daughter. The first son was known as Rukmi, the second Rukma Rata, the third Rukma Bahu, the fourth Rukma Kesha, and the fifth Rukma Mali. The brothers had 1 younger sister, Rukmini. She was beautiful and chaste and was meant to be married to Lord Krishna. Many saintly persons and sages like Narad Muni used to visit the palace of King Bhishmaka. Naturally, Rukmini had a chance to talk with him, and in this way she obtained information about Krishna. She was informed about the 6 opulences of Krishna, and simply by hearing about him, she desired to surrender herself to his lotus feet and become his wife. Krishna had also heard of Rukmini. No internet in those days, but somehow or other the word got around. She was the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Intelligence, liberal-mindedness. Liberal-mindedness means of a magnanimous disposition, not necessarily left-wing. Exquisite beauty and righteous behavior. Krishna therefore decided that she was fit to be his wife. All of the relatives of King Bhishmaka decided that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna. So this is a significant point. Right? All of her relatives. But her elder brother, Rukmini, the oldest, despite the desire of the others, arranged for her marriage with Shishupal, a determined enemy of Krishna. When the black-eyed, beautiful Rukmini heard of the settlement, she immediately became very morose. Not only was she not being married to Krishna, she was being married to his sworn enemy. So here we have a plot. However, being a king's daughter, she understood political diplomacy and decided that there was no use in simply being morose. Some steps should be taken immediately.
Black eyes.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
She had black eyes.
It means that
the eyes. No, no, no. She's not. Well,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it must be like
those
or something.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. The epithet is used often.
Yeah.
You know, black-eyed daughter.
Just very dark eyes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you do that. It doesn't mean that somebody slugged you in the eye. But anyway, here we see she's just not going to sit around and be depressed. She's going to take action because she's King's daughter. Therefore, she has some of the proactive Kshatriya spirit, right? After some deliberation, she decided to send a message to Krishna, and so that she might not be deceived, she selected a qualified brahmana as her messenger. Interesting, somebody who would not be duplicitous, looking for an honest courier. Such a qualified brahmana is always truthful, well there it is always truthful and is a devotee of Vishnu. He's on there, of course he's going to be on the plot. Without delay, she sent the brahmana to Dwarka. Reaching the gate of Dwarka, the brahmana informed the doorkeeper of his arrival. And the doorkeeper led him to the palace where Krishna was sitting on a golden throne. Since the brahmana had the opportunity to be Rukmini's messenger, he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the original cause of all causes. A brahmana is the spiritual teacher of all the social divisions. Lord Sri Krishna, in order to teach everyone the Vedic etiquette of how to respect a brahmana, immediately got up and offered him his throne. When the brahmana was seated on the golden throne, Lord Sri Krishna began to worship him exactly as the demigods worship Krishna. In this way, he taught everyone that worshipping his devotee is more valuable than worshipping him, because Krishna himself is doing it. In due time, the brahmana took his bath, accepted his meals, and took to rest on a bedstead completely bedecked with salt silk. Everybody's taking their time to go through all this movie. As he was resting, Lord Sri Krishna silently approached and with great respect put the brahmana's legs on his lap and began to massage them. In this way, Krishna appeared before the brahmana and said, "My dear brahmana, I hope that you are executing the religious principles without difficulty and that your mind is always peaceful." Different classes of people in the social system are engaged in various professions, and when one inquires as to the well-being of a particular person, he should do so on the basis of that person's occupation. I read in the dictionary where when you see a Vaishya, you're supposed to say, "Shame on te." I hope that your property is secure. So here, when you're a brahmana, you don't ask about their property, you ask about their religious principles and their peace of mind. Therefore, when one inquires as to the welfare of a brahmana, the question should be worded according to his condition of life, so as not to disturb him. peaceful mind is the basis. This is really nice, huh? But a peaceful mind is the basis for becoming truthful, clean, equipoised, self-controlled, and tolerant. Thus, by attaining knowledge and knowing its practical application in life, one becomes convinced about the absolute truth. This is Sama Dhamma Tapa Sotra Shantamar Jivame. Yeah. Jnana Vijnana Asvikya. It's right here.
Seems like a great translation.
Huh?
Seems like a great creative translation.
Yeah, this is a translation of that verse. Hear it again, huh? A peaceful mind is the basis for becoming truthful, clean, equipoised, self-controlled, and tolerant. Thus, by attaining knowledge and knowing its practical application in life, one becomes convinced about the absolute truth. Astikya. One becomes convinced about the absolute truth. The Brahmana knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still he accepted the respectful service of the Lord on the grounds of Vedic social convention. Lord Sri Krishna was playing just like a human being. Because he belonged to the Kshatriya division of the social system and was a young boy, it was his duty to show respect to such a Brahmana. Lord Sri Krishna continued, "O best of all the Brahmanas, you should always remain satisfied. For if a Brahmana is always self-satisfied, meaning Atmarama, not smug, spiritually satisfied, he will not deviate from his prescribed duties. And simply by sticking to one's prescribed duties, everyone, especially a Brahmana, can attain the highest perfection of all desires. Even if a person is as opulent as the king of heaven, Indra, if he is not satisfied, he inevitably has to transmigrate from one planet to another. Such a person can never be happy under any circumstances. But if one's mind is satisfied, even if he is bereft of all possessions, he can be happy living anywhere." This instruction by Krishna to the Brahmana is very significant. The purport is that a true Brahmana should not be disturbed in any situation. In this modern age, Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmanas have accepted the abominable condition of Shudras, or less, and still want to pass as a qualified Brahmanas. What's he referring to? Mean all Brahmanas in India are getting a technical education and becoming the hirelings of corporations in computer technology and other things like that. That's called Shudra. Actually, a qualified Brahmana always sticks to his own duties, never accepts those of a Shudra or of one less than a Shudra. It is advised in the authorized scriptures that a Brahmana may, under awkward circumstances, you know, when he's starving to death or something, emergency condition, accept the profession of a Kshatriya or even a Vaishya, but never is he to accept the profession of a Shudra. Lord Krishna declared that a Brahmana should never be disturbed by any adverse conditions if he scrupulously sticks to his religious principles. In conclusion, Lord Sri Krishna said, "I offer my respectful obeisances to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. For the Brahmanas are always self-satisfied and the Vaishnavas are always engaged in actual welfare activities for human society. They are the best friends of the people in general. Both are free from false egoism and are always in a peaceful condition of mind. Lord Sri Krishna then desired to know about the rulers, the Kshatriyas, in the Brahmana's kingdom. So he inquired whether the citizens of the kingdom were all happy. A king's qualification is judged by the temperament of the people in the kingdom. Think of this, huh? A king's qualification is judged by the temperament of the people in the kingdom. If they are happy in all respects, it is to be understood that the king is honest and is executing his duties rightly. Krishna said that the king in whose kingdom the citizens are happy is very dear to him. Of course, Krishna could understand that the Brahmana had come with a confidential message. Therefore, he said, if you have no objection, I give you liberty to speak about your mission. Thus, being very satisfied by these transcendental pastimes with the Lord, the Brahmana narrated the whole story of his mission in coming to see Krishna. He got out the letter Rukmini had written to Krishna and said, these are the words of Princess Rukmini. My dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastimes immediately absorbs through his ears your name, fame, and qualities. Thus all his material pangs subside, and he fixes your form in his heart. Through such transcendental love for you, he always sees you within himself, and by this process all his desires are fulfilled. Similarly, I have heard of your transcendental qualities. I may be shameless in expressing myself directly, but you have captivated me and taken my heart. You may suspect that I am an unmarried young girl and may doubt my steadiness of character. But, my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lion among human beings and the supreme person among persons. Any girl, though not yet having left her home, or even any woman of the highest chastity, would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence, and position. I know that you are the husband of the goddess of fortune and are very kind toward your devotees. Therefore, I have decided to become your eternal maidservant. My dear Lord, I dedicate my life and soul unto your lotus feet. My dear Lord, I dedicate my life and soul unto your lotus feet. I have selected your lordship as my husband, and I therefore request you to accept me as your wife. You are the supreme powerful, O lotus-eyed one. Now I belong to you. If that which is enjoyable for the lion to eat is taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous thing. Therefore, I request you to immediately take care of me before I am taken away by Shishupal and other princes like him. My dear Lord, in my previous life, I may have done public welfare work like digging wells, growing trees, or pious activities such as performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, and serving superiors like the spiritual master, brahmanas, and vaishnavas. By these activities, perhaps, I have pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. If this be so, then I wish that you, Lord Krishna, the brother of Lord Balarama, please come here and catch hold of my hand so that I not be touched by Shishupala and his company. You know the name Shishupala means? Interesting. The protector of children. Shishu. Or disciples. Shishupala. Protector of children. Interesting. Rukmini's marriage with Shishupala was already settled. Therefore, she suggested that Krishna kidnap her. So that this might be changed. This sort of marriage, also known as an abduction, this sort of marriage in which the girl is kidnapped by force is known as rakshasa and is practiced among the kshatriyas, or men with an administrative martial spirit. Because her marriage was already arranged to take place the next day, Rukmini suggested that Krishna come there incognito. Incognito means in disguise or unknown, unrecognized. Krishna come there incognito to kidnap her and then fight with Shishupala and his allies like the king of Magadha, that is to say Jarasandha. Knowing that no one could conquer Krishna, who would certainly emerge victorious, she addressed him as Achyuta, the unconquerable. Rukmini told Krishna not to be concerned that many of her family members, including other women, might be wounded or even killed if the fighting took place within the palace. As the king of a country thinks of diplomatic ways to achieve his object, Rukmini, being the daughter of a king, was diplomatic in suggesting how this unnecessary and undesirable killing could be avoided. She explained, here's the point, now here's my plan. She explained that it was the custom of her family to visit the temple of the goddess Durga, their family deity, before a marriage. The Kshatriya kings were mostly staunch Vaishnavas, worshipping Lord Vishnu in either the Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan form. Still, for their material welfare, they used to worship the goddess Durga. They never made the mistake, however, of accepting the demigods as the Supreme Lord on the level of Vishnu Tattva, as did some less intelligent men. To avoid the unnecessary killing of her relatives, Rukmini suggested that it would be easiest for him to kidnap her while she was either going from the palace to the temple or else returning home. She also explained to Krishna why she was anxious to marry him, even though her marriage was to take place with Shishupala, who was also qualified, being the son of a great king. Rukmini said that she did not think anyone was greater than Krishna, not even Lord Shiva, who is known as Mahadev, the greatest. greatest of all demigods. Lord Shiva also seeks the pleasure of Lord Krishna in order to be delivered from his entanglement in the quality of ignorance within the material world. Although Lord Shiva is the greatest of all souls, Mahatmas, he keeps on his head the purifying water of the Ganges, which emanates from a hole in this material universe made by the tongue of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is in charge of the material quality of ignorance, and to keep himself in a transcendental position, he always meditates on Lord Krishna. Therefore, Rukmini knew very well that obtaining the favor of Krishna was not easy, even if Lord Shiva must purify himself for this purpose. Surely it would be difficult for Rukmini, who was only the daughter of a Kshatriya king. Therefore, she desired to dedicate her life to observing severe austerities and penances, such as fasting and going without bodily comfort. If it were not possible in this lifetime to gain Krishna's favor by these activities, she was prepared to undergo austerities in lifetime after lifetime. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. The word is dridha prataha. Such determination as exhibited by Rukmini Devi is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. One should be strongly determined in Krishna consciousness, and that is the way to ultimate success in Krishna consciousness. After explaining Rukmini Devi's statement to Krishna, the Brahmana said, "My dear Krishna, chief of the Yadu dynasty, I have brought this confidential message for you from Rukmini. Now it is placed before you for your consideration. After due deliberation, you may act as you please. But if you want to do something, you must do it immediately. There is not much time left for action." Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 51st chapter of Krishna, Krishna the Rakshasa. What time do we go to? The arti is at 6, right? Huh? Yeah, well, just asking. Okay. 52, chapter 52, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. After hearing Rukmini's statement, Lord Krishna was very pleased. He immediately shook hands with the Brahmanas. I think that means he addressed him. And said, "My dear Brahmana, I'm very glad to hear that Rukmini is anxious to marry me. Since I'm also anxious to get her hand, my mind is always absorbed in thoughts of the daughter of Bhishma. Sometimes I cannot sleep at night because I am thinking of her. I can understand that the marriage of Rukmini with Shishupal has been arranged by her elder brother in the spirit of animosity toward me. So I'm determined to give a good lesson to all of these princes. Just as one extracts and uses fire after manipulating ordinary wood, after dealing with these demoniac princes, I shall bring forth Rukmini like fire from their midst." Krishna, upon being informed of the specific date of Rukmini's marriage, was anxious to leave immediately. he asked his driver, Daruka, to harness the horses for his chariot and prepare to go to the kingdom of the Darva. After hearing this order, the driver brought Krishna's four special horses. Here we have some esoteric knowledge. The names of Krishna's horses. The names and descriptions of these horses are mentioned in the Padma Purana. The first one, Shaivya, was greenish. The second, Sugriva, was grayish, like ice. The third, Megapushpa, was the color of a new cloud. And the last, Balahaka, was of ashen color. When the horses were yoked and the chariot was ready to go, Krishna helped the Brahmana up and gave him a seat by his side. So here they are. Saivya, greenish, Sugriva, gray like ice, Megapushpa, like a new cloud, dark like a new cloud, and Balahaka, Balahaka, like ashen. When the horses were yoked and the chariot ready to go, Krishna helped the Brahmana up and gave him a seat by his side. Immediately they started from Dwarka and within one night arrived at the province of Vidarbha. The kingdom of Dwarka is situated in the western part of India and Vidarbha is situated in the northern part. They are separated by a distance of not less than 1,000 miles. But the horses were so fast that they reached their destination, a town called Kundina, within one night or at most 12 hours. King Bhishmaka was not enthusiastic about handing his daughter over to Shishupal. But he was obliged to accept the marriage settlement due to his affectionate attachment for his eldest son who had negotiated it. As a matter of duty, he was decorating the city for the marriage ceremony and acting in great earnestness to make it successful. Water was sprinkled all over the streets, and the city was cleansed very nicely. Since India is situated in the tropical zone, the atmosphere is always dry. Dust always accumulates on the streets and roads, so they must be sprinkled with water at least once a day, and in big cities like Calcutta, twice a day. Actually, Prabhupada remarked that when he was young, and the city was under British administration, the roads were, Calcutta streets were washed twice a day. Water was pumped out of the Ganges, the Hooghly. The streets were cleaned twice a day, every day. That's why it mentions here, Calcutta twice a day. The roads of Kundina were arranged with colored flags and festoons, and gates were constructed at particular crossings. The whole city was decorated very nicely. The beauty of the city was enhanced by the inhabitants, both men and women, who were dressed in washcloth and decorated with sandalwood pulp, pearl necklaces, and flower garlands. Incense burned everywhere, and fragrances like agaru scented the air. Priests and brahmanas were sumptuously fed, and according to ritualistic ceremony, was given sufficient wealth and cows in charity. In this way, they were engaged in chanting the Vedic hymns. The king's daughter, Rukmini, was exquisitely beautiful. She was very clean and had beautiful teeth. The auspicious sacred thread was tied on her wrist. In that red thread, the devil's bone. She was given various types of jewelry to wear and long silken cloth to cover the upper and lower parts of her body. Learned priests gave her protection by chanting mantras from the Psalm of Asia. Rig Veda and Yajur Veda. Then they chanted mantras from the Atharva Veda and offered oblations in the fire to pacify the ominous conjunctions of different stars. King Bhishmaka was experienced in dealing with brahmanas and priests. When such ceremonies were held, he specifically honored the brahmanas by giving them large quantities of gold and silver, grains mixed with molasses, and cows decorated with golden ornaments. Dhamaghosh, Shishupal's father, executed all kinds of ritualistic performances to invoke good fortune for his own family. Shishupal's father was known as Dhamaghosha due to his superior ability to cut down unregulated citizens. Dhamma means curbing down, and Gosha means famous. So he was famous for controlling the citizens, a law and order man here. Dhamaghosh thought that if Krishna came to disturb the marriage ceremony, he would certainly cut him down with his military power. Therefore, after performing the various auspicious ceremonies, Dhamaghosh gathered his military divisions, known as Madrasradi, for their anticipated trouble. He took many elephants garlanded with golden necklaces, and many similarly decorated chariots and horses. It appeared that Dhamaghosh, along with his son and other companions, was going to Kundina, not completely forgetting the marriage, but mainly intent on hiding. When King Bhishmaka learned that Dhamaghosha and his party were arriving, he left the city to receive them outside the city gate, where many gardens, where guests were welcome to stay. In the Vedic system of marriage, the bride's father receives the large party of the bridegroom and accommodates them in a suitable place for 2 or 3 days until the marriage ceremony is performed. The party led by Dhamaghosha contained thousands of men, among whom were the prominent kings. Among whom the prominent kings and personalities were. Listen to this list. Jarasandha, Dantavakta, Vidura, and Kaundoka. All later killed by Krishna one way or another. Vidura. It was an open secret that Rukmini was meant to be married to Krishna, but that her elder brother Rukmini had arranged her marriage to Shishupal. There was also some whispering about a rumor that Rukmini had sent a messenger to Krishna. Therefore, the soldiers suspected that Krishna might cause a disturbance by attempting to kidnap Rukmini. Even though they were not without fear, they were all prepared to give Krishna a good fight to prevent the girl from being taken away. Sri Balaram received the news that Krishna had left for Kundina, accompanied only by a Brahmana. He also heard that Shishupal was there with a large number of soldiers. Suspecting that they would attack Krishna, Balaram took strong military divisions of chariots, infantry, horses, and elephants, and arrived at the precincts of Kundina. He also must have traveled fast. Meanwhile, as the military forces gathered inside the palace, Rukmini was expecting Krishna to arrive. But when neither he nor the Brahmana who took her message appeared, she was full of anxiety and began to think how unfortunate she was. There is only one night between today and my marriage day, and still neither the Brahmana nor Shamsundra has returned. I cannot ascertain any reason for this. Having little hope, she thought that perhaps Krishna had found reason to become dissatisfied and had rejected her fair proposal. As a result, the Brahmana might have become disappointed and not come back. Although she was thinking of various causes for the delay, she expected them both at each moment. Rukmini further began to think that the demigods, which is Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the goddess Durga, might have been displeased. It is generally said that the demigods become angry when not properly worshipped. For instance, when Indra found that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not worshipping him, Krishna having stopped the Indra Yajna, he became angry and wanted to chastise them. Thus Rukmini thought that since she did not worship Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma very much, they might have become angry and tried to frustrate her plan. Similarly, the thought that the goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, might have taken the side of her husband. Lord Shiva is known as Rudra, and his wife is known as Rudrani. Rudrani and Rudra refer to those who are accustomed to putting others in distress to cry forever. Yeah, Rudra means crying or howling. Rukmini was thinking of the goddess Durga as Giriraj, Girija. Rukmini was thinking of the goddess Durga as Girija, the daughter of the Himalayan mountains. Girija means mountain-born, the feminine one, Girija. Daughter of the Himalayas.
Parvati.
Huh? Parvati or Himavati also. The Himalayan mountains are very cold and hard. And she thought of the goddess Durga as hard-hearted and cold. In her anxiety to see Krishna, Rukmini, who was after all, still a child, thought this way about the different demigods. The gopis worship goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. Similarly, Rukmini was thinking of the various types of demigods, not for material benefit, but in respect to Krishna. Praying to the demigods to achieve the favor of Krishna is not irregular. And Rukmini was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Even though she pacified herself that the time for Govinda to arrive had not yet expired, Rukmini felt that she was hoping against hope. Not expressing her mind to anyone, she simply shed tears, unobserved by others. And when her tears became more forceful, she closed her eyes in helplessness. While Rukmini was in such deep thought, auspicious symptoms appeared in different parts of her body. Trembling began to occur in her left eyelid and in her arms and thighs. When trembling occurs in these parts of the body, it is an auspicious sign indicating that something lucrative can be expected. We use the word lucrative. I don't know how it's sometimes these English words are used in India in a special sense. Lucrative, of course, means bringing wealth, literally. Just then, Rukmini, full of anxiety, saw the Brahmana messenger. Krishna, being the supersoul of all living beings, could understand Rukmini's anxiety, therefore he sent the Brahmana inside the palace to let her know that he had arrived. When Rukmini saw the Brahmana, she could understand the auspicious trembling of her body and immediately became elated. She smiled and inquired whether Krishna had already come. The Brahmana replied that the son of the Yadu dynasty, Sri Krishna, had arrived. He further encouraged her by saying that Krishna had promised to carry her away without fail. Rukmini was so elated by the Brahmana's message that she wanted to give him in charity everything she possessed. However, finding nothing suitable for presentation, she simply offered him her respectful obeisances. The significance of offering respectful obeisances to a superior is that the one offering obeisances is obliged to the respected person. In other words, Rukmini implied that she would remain ever grateful to the Brahmana. Anyone who gets the favor of the goddess of fortune, as did this Brahmana, is without a doubt always happy in material opulence. Maybe that's the meaning of lucrative, lucrative for the Brahmana, because Rukmini offered him a basis. What, are we going to pause for the arti, or what's the plan? Are you going to pause for the arti? You're going to plan to keep working, huh? Did you tell me I was supposed to go away and come back or something? At what time? 7:45. I'll stop now. I think at least we should play some music or else have a kirtan. Have a kirtan for you.